This is the Student Leadership News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Student Leadership News Podcast. We're excited to be sharing some great tips, ideas, stories with you. My name's Ronan and I'm often on the podcast, but with me today, first time featuring on the podcast, I would like to introduce you to the one, the only, Emily.
Hello.
Now, Emily, a lot of people may not know you in the face, okay, or in the ears if they're hearing you, but you are one of the people behind the scenes on our Student Leadership News website, writing articles all the time, so you know a fair lot about this stuff, yeah?
Yep. I know a little bit. Thanks.
Of course you do. Of course you do. So some of you that are watching and listening would have been reading Emily's stuff for quite some time. She's got a finger on the pulse when it comes to student leadership. So we put her in the hot seat today and you get to meet her firsthand as we talk about student leadership. So before we're too far into the meat of the episode, Emily, can you share with us two fun facts about yourself?
Okay, so I was thinking hard about what these two fun facts were going to be, and I've listened to some of the Student Leadership News podcasts, and I know that there's a lot of talk here about food and being loves of food, and I'm known for
Can I just put the record straight? That's just about always Cam, okay?
It's true.
This is like the first episode that he hasn't been on the podcast, and you've picked up the food mantle, okay?
Yep.
Told you to do that. Anyway, keep going. Two fun facts.
So the first one is that when I drink coffee, I don't have a typical coffee order. I always go for the iced latte, no sweetener. That's just not okay
so
with me.
It's different to iced coffee, right?
Yeah, no cream, no ice cream, just like ice, coffee, and milk.
There you go.
Nothing
so it's
else.
Ice and it's coffee, but it's not an iced coffee.
No.
Okay, there we go.
I didn't name it, but that's what it is.
Fair point.
Iced latte. And the other thing is that I love avocado, like an inappropriate amount.
Wow.
I like smashed avo on toast. I like guacamole, avocado in all of its forms.
All of its forms?
Yep.
Okay.
It's probably in at least two of my meals a day.
Did you have an avocado birthday cake?
No.
No, do you brush your teeth with avocado at the end of the night?
No, put me under the pump.
Avocado muffins for morning tea?
No, but I have guacamole that I made with fresh avocado for lunch today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Committed to the course.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for keeping the food mantle going. Anyway, let's get stuck into the segments of our episode. Let's get to the first one.
My favourite idea.
Okay, this segment, my favourite idea. Emily, I'm going to put you on the spot. First episode, first segment. Tell us, what is your favourite idea that you've heard lately?
Okay, so recently I've heard about a school, St. Patrick's School in Launceston, Tasmania, who have put on a 24-hour triathlon. So a very creative idea, raising money for a charity.
And so we're talking like for 24 hours, swimming, running, cycling, 24 hours. The same person, the people?
I'm not entirely sure. I know it's the year 12 students that participated, and I actually couldn't tell you if they're in teams and they have to have someone going for the 24 hours, but I know it's happening all night. They have a school pool and there were people swimming in it at like 2 a.m.
Fantastic. Okay, so tell us more.
Okay, so this it's really cool what they've done. They've actually been running this event. It was its 11th year this year. And for the past 9 or 10 years, they were raising money for their sister school in Tanzania. But because they've raised so many funds and the event has been so successful, that school is actually now self-sufficient.
Awesome.
Which is really, really a great result from the student leaders at this school. And this year they've decided to branch out. They've picked some new charities that they wanted to raise this money for. And one of the coolest things about this event is that the students, the year 12 students, are super involved in running it and organizing everything, getting sponsorships from local businesses and promoting the event and things like that.
Excellent. Great idea. And lofty goal too, like to be able to say we're going to do this for 24 hours, but probably gets a bit of notice as a result of that. Good stuff. Well done, the students at St. Patrick's College. So let's get going on to our next segment.
BLT, best leadership tip.
So this is a regular segment that we have here on the Student Leadership News Podcast, BLT, not bacon, lettuce, tomato, not a blat either, which is my preferred sandwich.
Keep going.
Yeah, bacon, lettuce, avocado, and tomato.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah, I've had it. It's
good. You sure? It's not just someone that couldn't pronounce it and went bacon, lettuce and tomato.
No, I've been to a cafe before and they've got BLT on the menu and then below they have BLAT.
Fantastic. I can see why you would like it. Yeah.
However, this time we are not talking about bacon, lettuce, avocado and tomato. We are talking about our best leadership tip.
Okay. The tip that I want to pass on to people is to respond to what's current. So often with student leaders, they're thinking of needs and they want to do something good for people in their school or outside the school. And so they sit down and they think about what people might want rather than just taking time to look around and see what the current needs are. And a great example that I saw of this recently was student leaders who here in Australia where we are noticed in the media, really just took the screens for a couple of days, all about a crisis involving strawberry farms. And the result of that, the strawberry saga as it's been talked about, is people maliciously putting pins into the strawberries. They were getting sold, people were getting hurt as a result of it. And I mean, you know this like I do, yeah. It was a bit of an outcry for a while. What are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the authorities were doing what they needed to do. But really quickly, there was a number of student groups around Australia that said, well, what can we do to make sure that people are still buying strawberries? And especially students that were in regional areas had access to strawberry farms. Instead of saying, well, we normally do sausage sizzle fundraisers or we normally sell ice cream as fundraisers, they were saying, we're going to go straight to the strawberry farms, buy absolute crate loads of strawberries fresh from the farmers, make sure that we're still buying them from the farmers and use those as fundraisers at school, strawberry milkshakes and strawberry ice cream days. So they're responding to a need that's current. Yeah. And I think it's good because it actually helps the need that's there. But the other thing that's good about it is students want to help something that's current, not help something that one day they're told could be an issue or something that many years ago was talked about as an issue. But students in a school really like activate their enthusiasm for something that's current. So I've certainly seen that example recently. And we absolutely applaud students who have done that. So I encourage anybody out there, regardless of where you live, what country, what the needs are that's around you, try and respond to things that are really, really current. And that just takes a little bit of time to stop and ask the question, what's happening around us? So there you go. Certainly my best leadership tip for this week.
Awesome.
We'll get on to the next segment, which is, I always look forward to this, we get stuck into some meat in the segment top three.
3, 2, 1.
Top three.
Okay, let's talk about three ways to involve more people in school events. Like, it must be one of the questions that we get asked all the time when we work with student leaders. How do we get more people involved in school events? So we've penciled down three strategies. Emily, do you want to get us started?
Yep. So the first one I think is really important is students will participate in your event if they're actually the target of the event. I know when I was a student leader, so often I could get caught up in thinking of events that would be fun for me or that I'd like to participate in. But it's far more important to think of events that actually target the students at your school. So what's going to be beneficial of them? What are their interests? What do they like to do? Can we make an event that revolves around that? Or what are the benefits for them? Are there actually any benefits if they are to come along and participate? So actually making sure the students you want to be involved are the target of the event. They're not just invited to come along to something that might have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, second top tip for this is to make sure students feel like they're part of the team. What I mean by this is actually try and widen the team of people who are putting on the particular event that it is that you're organising. See, one of the fun things about an event often is being the organizer of it. So it's easy if you're in a group of 5 student leaders or 15 student leaders to say, no, we're the organizers. We're the ones who are doing things. But one of your best strategies is actually to try and widen that team as much as possible. Think about it like this. Like, I'll throw you under the bus here, Emily. Your favorite sport is what?
Touch football.
Touch football. Okay. So let's say that there was a high-profile touch football event on, you may or may not choose to go along and get involved as a spectator. You might think, nah, got other stuff on. But if a high-profile touch football team called you and said, we actually need you to be part of our team for the day, not necessarily as a player, but they might say, we really need a support role. Mm-hmm. We need you to be out there helping the team, running drinks, whatever it might be. Yeah. You might be more likely, therefore, to say, oh, you need me? Yeah, okay, I'll do that. Like, it's just for great to be around the team, yeah? Okay, a lot of student leaders don't realize this. The same dynamic happens in a school. If a group of student leaders start to say to a wider group, we need you to be part of this with us. We actually need your help on the team, not in a token way, mm-hmm. but in a real way, then that activates a level of enthusiasm that then has more people involved. So I certainly encourage leadership teams to get people as part of your team for the event. So there you go, second tip. And bring us home with the third way to involve more people in school events.
Okay, the third way that you can involve more people in your school events is that students will want to be involved if they actually trust the student leaders. Mm. But this is a long-term strategy. It's a bit different to the others because you've actually got to develop and build that trust between students that help run events at school and the students that we want to be involved. So some of the ways I think you can do this is to think about what events are already being run at your school, maybe by teachers, and can you get involved with that? Can you be seen as a presence that is serving at events and participating and helping out the younger students, perhaps, if they're already having events on? So start to build that trust and create that relationship. And another thing you can do is make sure your first event is really, really good. If you can have an event that is super creative, effective, fun for everyone involved, students are going to remember that. And next time the student leaders call on the others to participate in an event, they're going to say, hey, I remember that first event. It was amazing. So if they're saying this is going to be a good time as well, I trust those student leaders and I do want to come along and be involved.
I think it's interesting that you said that it's a long-term strategy. Mm. And often the strategies that are long-term strategies are the ones that are most stable.
For sure.
Like it doesn't feel like you get a result straight away, but you're laying a solid foundation that works over time. But I think sometimes people are put off by long-term strategies. Yeah. They think, oh, we don't want to do this strategy because it takes 2 months or 2 years to see a result. You should still start now, like building trust now, like you said, that relationship, being involved in events that are already put on, starting on those things now. You don't know when you'll see the results. You might start seeing the results in 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, but you will never, ever see them if you don't start it just because of the fear of long-term strategy. So it's definitely that balance. What are we doing now that we'll see results now? And what are we doing now that we'll see results over time? And that's when we see a leadership team that like leaves a legacy and offers something over a period of time.
Sure.
So there we go, our top three ways to involve more people in school events. Now, coming to the end of this episode of the podcast, Emily.
It's a bit sad.
But good thing is there's always more episodes and plenty more ways to engage with student leadership news. Yes. If you're seeing the stuff that's out there on social media, likelihood is it's an article that Emily could have written. And now you know her in person. So thanks for being part of this episode, Emily.
Thanks, Rhodes.
Can't wait to have you back on another episode in the future. To finish this episode, we're actually going to throw to a little segment, which will bring the podcast to a close. It's going to be a little preview to a new podcast that we have heard about. And it's our good friend, John Kutis. You know John Kutis.
Yes, I do. What a legend.
So we've heard him speak before. Last year at the National Young Leaders Day, he was one of the most popular speakers with the things that he's offered for students and student leaders. And he's starting a podcast of his own. So we wanted to do a shout out to John. Hello, John. We know you're listening. But as well as that, we wanted to allow everybody who listens to our podcast to also know about John's podcast that's kicking off now. So we'll finish this episode allowing you to listen to John's little intro, and then you'll be able to engage with that as well. So thanks again, Emily. Thanks to our audience, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Student Leadership News Podcast.
You may have seen him on his skateboard. You may have seen him on TV. You may have even seen him climbing the shelves in his local supermarket or sitting on an aeroplane with all that extra legroom. He's best known for his work on stage, inspiring and motivating to the world and all it has to offer. Well, now you can hear him, JC, on his very own show, John Kutis. Instead of JC being interviewed, he's doing the interviewing, and the people lined up to have a chat with John Kutis are some of Australia's and the planet's most well-known celebrities, politicians and everyday people. Enjoy.
G'day guys, JC here with some super exciting news from the back of Harry the Hyundai. My podcast series, JC's Rolling Success Show, is about to be launched and I want you to be a part of it. Every day I get to help others be successful and I get to work and hang out with all these people and watch them be successful at many, many different things. It's these people that I'll be bringing to this podcast series. Not only will there be lots of fun, but you will have the opportunity to learn all along the way. And I want to make sure that you don't miss any episodes. So go to wherever that you get your podcast series and click subscribe. Click subscribe on the JC's Rolling Success Show. This could just change your life. From the back of Harry Hyundai, I'm saying over and out. See you very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Student Leadership News Podcast. Interact with us on social media and follow the news online at studentleadership.news.